822 News Radio WJPF. I want to thank my guest for joining me this morning, Dr. Austin Lane, Chancellor of SIU. Austin, it's good to talk to you again, sir. You've been well?
Hey, I've been well, Tom. Thanks again for having me this morning. I appreciate you, as you know, and look forward to talking with you.
Well,
thank you.
I got a lot of stuff to talk about, too. You know what's interesting, and this could be subjective to some point, the definition of a successful school year changed this year. It's not just about scores. It's also about numbers. And we're talking about COVID. The definition of success has changed this year. How did SIU fare?
I tell you what, this fall with a lot of planning, Tom, as you know, and I appreciate you having me on your show early on and as soon as I got here, because I think it helped communicate a lot of our Saluki safety plans and things that we were putting in place and really hoping they would work. You know, no one had the magic plan. And so we stuck to it. Our faculty, our staff, our students all complied with wearing their mask and doing the things to keep us safe here. I have a tremendous student health center with our doctors, our nurses over there do a great job, our counselors working with our students. And so we just executed the plan. Our custodians cleaned the buildings, did a great job. Grounds folks kept the grounds looking good. So, you know, it was a team effort, and we're able to have some success. When you look at our numbers compared to others, we came out quite well. Spiked up a little bit towards the end of the semester, right before our students went home, November 20th. And so, you know, that scared us a little bit. But really focused now on, you know, the spring semester. Still have testing in place for our students and make sure that they come back ready to get going again. It'll be a little longer. We're starting a week later after MLK on the 19th, and we will go all the way through with no spring break and end the semester early May, late April, early May. You know, again, we're going to be focused in on trying to make sure everyone's safe.
You know, there was a published article that said SIU had gotten lucky, and I'll have to admit I bristled a little bit at that. Because just listen to what you just talked about, preparation. I don't know, and I understand luck and the perception, hey, look at what happened to other schools, but like I said, I didn't accept that term after knowing the effort that went in.
Yeah, you know, we're just glad that we had a semester that was it's a lot better than what we all, I think, expected. I mean, when we started, we didn't know what was going to happen. We really didn't, and I'm sure other universities didn't either. I mean, like I said, no one had a magical document or a plan, but I kept stressing that the plans have to be plans, you know, things that we could change on a dime if we needed to and adjust accordingly. And so, you know, it's nothing wrong with having a little bit of luck, too. I do think that planning, though, as you, I think what you're alluding to is, still having a plan actually does help. And so if you could follow that plan and you have to anticipate, we did have to anticipate with a lot of things that were out there. We did our homework. We looked at what other places were doing. Maybe if they were having success, we didn't try and reinvent the wheel. We just borrowed some of their success and things that worked for us well here. We kept to it.
All right, let's talk about plans. Let's talk about long-term plans, because there's a collective dent in I think students and how education is going to be performed, whether it's K through 12, high school, whatever the case. But that trend had already existed on higher education level and had an effect on the brick and mortar universities when you could just go online, the University of Phoenix or whatever the case is. Mm-hmm. And so I'm haunted by this report from Deutsche Bank saying all of these pre-existing trends will now be accelerated. And one of the items they talked about was people at work from home should be taxed more because they aren't out supporting and the infrastructure still needed there for them. But when you look at online education, that was a trend that had already been taken kind of a bite out of the collective hide of higher education, accelerating that trend. And Glenn Pichard, when he was chancellor, was telling me, look, we were already behind the eight ball SIU. We should have already been online education. How is this going to affect higher education long term? We know that some of these courses really don't transfer well over that medium. How is this going to affect long term education, online education?
Well, you know, you're right, and Dr. Bouchard was right, and definitely when he said this, whenever he said it. But years ago, at least, I'm thinking 25 years ago, you know, just when we were really seeing these for-profit universities really take a large chunk or large stab at doing the online learning, a lot of the traditional universities really criticized those for-profits and said, hey, you know, there's no way you can learn online. And,
yeah.
And here we are, you know, 25 years later, and again, I'm just using that as kind of a bar for the last 25 years, that you're seeing traditional universities that were brick and mortar doing a lot more online, and it really is to meet the demands of the students. If you think about when those students can actually take courses, particularly adult students, and so you've had a lot of for-profits capitalize on students who may have started their degree years ago, but maybe they didn't finish. And so those students now need a program specifically tailored online so that they can complete those courses. And so traditional universities like ours here, you know, we're looking at that right now. We have a lot of Salukis out there who may have started with us back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and, you know, have 80, 90 hours, and they just need to finish up a few more, but they're working now. You know, they have families. And so we're looking at making sure we can offer those programs and or courses in those formats that make it a little more conducive for adult learners, at least, to finish. And then you move on to the traditional students. And now them having to take those courses right now, we had 40% of our courses fully online because of the pandemic. And, you know, those students really like social interaction. And so, as you can imagine, it's pretty hard for them to have to take so many courses online. But we hope that's going to change here, you know, once we can get some things hopefully under control with the pandemic and get back to a semester that looks a little more traditional, a little more face-to-face. But our faculty have done a tremendous job. You know, they had to really turn on a dime back in the spring, teach courses that we would never imagine that could be taught online, but they were able to do that. So the quality is still there. I think the public needs to know that. Even if it's online, I teach an online course. I'll be doing that this spring. It's kind of a hybrid higher ed leadership course. And, you know, it's a little more challenging, actually, to teach online. It's a lot easier for me to just be face-to-face. But, again, we're all adjusting, and we're going to keep moving forward.
It was interesting. A paper written by Norfolk University on the Norfolk State University on the subject of online education, its proliferation. And they talked to the faculty about it. And it was interesting. One of the summations was, from that report, it was determined from faculty members' response that their face-to-face teaching had benefited in some ways from teaching online. That teaching online had taught the teacher something about face-to-face education. Maybe the enthusiasm, not really sure all the details that go into this, but I thought that was interesting that in some ways it helped.
Well, yeah. Well, if you ever taught a class, it's almost face-to-face. It's almost like you're preparing for a, it's like acting almost in some cases, because you've got to bring the energy. You know, you've got to bring the ability to be able to take the knowledge that you have and teach it in a way that is understandable to those students that are there. And so, you know, you really have to prep, almost think about it as like an athlete trying to prepare for a competition or a game. You know, you've got to practice, you've got to prep, and you've got to be on your toes and know your stuff. Now, translate that into an online environment where you're looking at the computer and then trying to interact with students in a virtual environment. You know, that takes a lot of work, you know,
right,
to be able to,
you gotta be prepped,
to be creative.
You gotta be prepared.
You know, it's showtime. But again, I'm amazed at our faculty and I'm amazed at our students, even given their learning modalities. You know, some people learn better, you know, as auditory learners, and some are more tactile. You know, you just got different learning styles,
right,
that students are having to really tap into these days and make sure that they can get that information that they need in order to move forward. And they're doing a great job of that right now.
Not to sound too cavalier about this, but hell of a time to start a nursing program.
I tell you what, That nursing program, when I arrived, actually was already in play. And so hats off to everyone who was here and really pushing that, and our partnerships with Rex and SIH and the folks here. Just for our region here in Southern Illinois to have something like that is just, I think, I used the word game changer a lot, and I think it is for our region. And then to have it, as you say, Tom, and at a time we're in the you know, just a very, very tumultuous pandemic, and having a nursing program with students who are going to be able to say that they started that inaugural program during one of the worst pandemics in the history of our country is historical. You know, and so I know we'll have nurses, future nurses, that will go out there and join the current nurses in doing an outstanding job and fighting the pandemic and taking care of us here in Southern Illinois and beyond. So I'm excited about that and glad the university can play a key role in helping with that that public health movement.
Amy Scholer turning in her resignation a little ahead of the end of her term on Board of Trustees SIU, so the governor goes about making an appointment. I was always curious, do you have a voice in that?
No. It's not my, you know, I that has nothing to do with me above my pay grade. So you know, focus the attention here on the university, and hats off to Trustee Scholler. I know that Judge Gilbert gave a really nice commendation of just, you know, thanks to the board, and the other board members did as well. And so it's the governor's decision, and, you know, we keep working. You know, we'll be excited with whoever comes and joins this SIU system, and I know the president is hard at work as well. So, no, that doesn't have anything to do with me.
Yeah, I'm curious about it because I've had a deeper appreciation for the role they play between John A. Logan College Board of Trustees and seeing, you know, their guidance and how the system works. I had no appreciation for it. You know, I just assumed you were in charge, right? You know, and you start learning there's a board of trustees, they give you direction, you implement, you know, and I have a deeper appreciation for the importance of those board of trustees members, especially in tumultuous times, which I think is illustrated by the recent published article talking about Dr. Mahoney living in Springfield as opposed to Edwardsville and Springfield. And the term that he used in the interview was that Springfield was neutral ground. And seeing, I think I derived a lot from that singular term, which has a military connotation, a confrontational connotation, but is referencing this ongoing funds issue, SIUEC. But and other people saying, well, Springfield isn't Southern Illinois. He should live in Southern Illinois. A lot to be said about this issue. I mean, there's a house built specifically for the president at the Carbondale campus, but that neutral ground term, that jumped out at me.
Yeah, I tell you one thing that's been really refreshing, especially after I've read some things before I arrived and seeing it in action, is our board, you know, and our president is very committed to making sure that both campuses work well together. I mean, I have a great relationship with Chancellor Pembroke, and we're working on some programs that are actually going to connect the universities. It just makes sense. The economies of scale, when you start to look at programs that we can offer that students from around the region can take advantage of, where they, you know, they were not able to do, you know, before us now talking about it, I think it's going to pay off big. For the citizens of Southern Illinois. And, you know, the president's very astute. You know, he is really thinking about, when you think Springfield, I think he's more so focused in, as he's mentioned, with really those legislators, you know, and making sure that whether it's state reps or senators, that, you know, he's there advocating for the SIU system. You know, even just yesterday, we had a great phone call with Senator Crow. First time I met her on Zoom, and boy, she is a busy she gets after it. But I was just talking with her yesterday, myself and President Mahoney, and you know, we're already talking about the session. We're talking about the spring, and that's what Dr. Mahoney was focused in on. So, you know, for us, I think we're trying to create a new narrative and make sure that people know that we're stronger as a system. You know, even though we may have our own unique identities with our universities, whether it's here or in Edwardsville, but we're just stronger as a system. The economic impact that we can have on this community and citizens in there with education and all that we're doing with our academic programs, it's just, you know, it's a win-win.
Here's a question that came in for you. I think it's more of a statement slash question. Saying, I hope SIU considers a law enforcement program so local departments don't have the expense of sending officers so far away. Interesting comment this morning coming in for you, Dr. Lane.
Yeah, you know, that's a great comment. Everything that we're trying to do from a programmatic standpoint is to support the Southern Illinois region. And it doesn't mean, you know, we're not focused on things outside the region. Obviously, we are. We have to be, right? But we are trying to look at some niche programs here that impact the local citizens, the local economy, and how that can help with an economic regional push. And so all programs, that included, you know, we really have to take a look at and find out how we can do it. We have some extended programs in other areas, the Chicago area, other areas where there's some law enforcement, some training. But all of that is really what we look at all the time, is how much more can we be to our region? How much more can we be to make sure that we have, whether it's nurses, police, fire, you name it, what can we do to help that move forward? And so that's what we're always focused on. Now, you know, it takes money. You know, you've got to make sure you've got the enrollment. You've got to make sure you've got the demand out there to do it. But, you know, it doesn't mean that you can't put the strategy together, the plan, and start thinking about how to do that. So it's a great question that came in there.
I've seen this starting to bubble back up in social media and the push again after the presidential election about forgiving student loan debt. Talk about a contentious issue, Dr. Lane.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I tell you, that one thing that we are always focused on is how to keep the student debt low. And I know that for folks in our generation, Tom, and where we had to really shuffle out some dollars there and go into some debt just to get bachelor's degrees or master's degrees or you name it, that's been a burden here on students, particularly over the last about 30 years. And so, you know, you've got a lot of student debt out there. I know there's some forgiveness that's happening now. You know, where students are able to hold some of that off until the pandemic moves on. I know universities are looking really hard at their default rates and making sure that those stay under control so they don't get flagged by the federal government and some other areas. And so a lot at work right now. And one thing that I've shameless plug here to keep the debt down, what we're doing at SIUC is doing things like the Saluki commitment, you know, that really helps those household incomes that are $63,500 and below really utilize their federal and state grants instead of taking out loans. And so that's going to help tremendously keep their student debt load down where they can finish their degree without a lot of debt out there. And then we offer a lot of scholarships. You know, just the other night we were on Community Zoom and we were talking to the community about our scholarship opportunities and how that can help, where you don't have to, again, tap into any student loans. So we're doing our part to keep costs down, not raise tuition. You know, we continue to scholarship students, continue to look at ways to get them here through Saluki commitment, Saluki transfer commitment. And so that's our commitment. We understand, you know, that it takes a lot even to be able to go to college. And so we don't take that for granted. And hopefully we can continue to do that, you know, and attract more students and while we're doing it.
And that that relationship for many concludes of its own sort. This Saturday, some 900 fall 2020 graduates will be graduating this Saturday, a virtual ceremony. Among the, messages from old Hamilton star Zoe Jensen, 2017 musical theater graduate. Grew up in Rockford, Illinois. You've got that going on. The commencement, I think, is one of the most important things to people. It's a rite of passage. You are an adult. It's your turn to go out and do in the world. I mean, that's kind of the way I look at it. And then you've got your honorary doctorates. I saw Dr. Nzike being mentioned as predominantly. Yeah. But I've got to tell you, from a personal standpoint, I think I've met Mr. Harold Bardo in passing at a funeral. But my friends have said Harold Bardo is one of the finest men they've ever met in their lives, and I'm glad to see him on your list this year.
Yeah, I tell you what. Back to commencement first with Zoe. Just phenomenal story that she has, and being a Saluki and her success that she's had in New York and on Broadway. It's just a great story, and it's great to have her be our keynote speaker for commencement. Very excited about our students, their determination, their toughness, their grit to be able to get through their degrees. That's not an easy thing to do, and so we celebrate them. We celebrate their families, and a lot of first-generation students in that mix as well. So that's exciting. It's exciting. Those students are going to go on and do great things and represent Saluki Nation very well. Dr. Bardo, I heard more about Dr. Bardo's son because he was basketball player. Obviously, I tried to play basketball. His son's a lot better than me, Stephen Bardo. So when I got here and I heard the name Bardo, I thought, oh, wow, this is the real Bardo, Dr. Bardo. And so long storied history athletically with our university and then also in the Med Prep program, as you know. And so he's just done an amazing job. He's a great citizen, great Saluki. Glad to be honoring him and the others. We've got Ms. Pfeffer on there, one of our really just a huge supporter. Talk about supporters like Dr. Bardo. Well, Pam Pfeffer, just her and Phil, just amazing contributors to the university. They bleed maroon, just great people, So we've got some great Distinguished Service Awards in there, and as well as some honorary doctorates. And so we're excited. We're excited.
Dr. Austin Lane, graduation this weekend, already looking to spring. Appreciate your time, Dr. Lane. Any final thoughts before I let you go today?
No, Tom, I appreciate you as always. And for the folks out there, spring registration, it's time. And so if you were thinking about going back to school, we hope you think about coming here to SIUC, your hometown or home region university. And just excited to have you here. We've got some great things going on. So go Dawgs.
So if you could roll back to the beginning, all right, you know everything you know today. You know it all. But you just suddenly, it's Freaky Friday stuff, right? You're coming out of high school and you're ready to go to college. And you know what you know, but you get to start over. What do you pick?
Well, I pick SIU, man. I pick Saluki. So.
Yeah, but what about what class? What class? Engineering? What would you pick?
What
discipline?
You know what? If I had the brain power, it probably would be engineering. I just don't think I'd be able to be retained in it. Yeah, I'm a liberal arts guy.
I
wish I could. We got some smart people out there, Tom. I don't think engineering would work for me, though.
You know, for me, it would be either engineering or aviation.
Oh, you know what? You stole that from me. I'd probably do the aviation. Especially here.
Yeah, especially here. Yeah. I mean, the great, incredible, yeah. And a lot of gifts have come your way to help build that program. And granted, right now people go, well, it's not looking too good for the future. Yeah, but it'll come back, right? It's going to be,
right?
But I mean, when I think about that, there's some, nostalgia, we'll call it, for lack of a better word. Dr. Austin Lane, Chancellor of SIU. As always, Austin, appreciate your time, sir.
Hey, thank you, Tom. You have a good one.